Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a terrific Tuesday today. The weather's actually really nice down here in Florida. It's a little warm, but it's actually quite nice for a July afternoon. And how are you doing, Dad, on the other side of the world right now?
I'm doing great. I'm doing absolutely great. We're having a wonderful time. And just, I tell you what, it's nice here, too. They are definitely getting sprayed with chemtrails today. We saw that this morning. I was wondering why they were so hazy here, and I believe it's from the chemtrails, but they get very little rain. They have a relatively good sea breeze coming across the peninsula, so it keeps a lot of it cleared out, but there's some serious haze over the land here. So saw the chemtrails today, guys, so they're not free of it in Greece either, so pretty much every NATO country has these things. Austin, what's your first story?
It's crazy, man, everything. Well, to those that think the EPA is actually here to try and protect the environment or even protect the United States citizens, you really need to look into what they've been doing over the last 15 to 20 years now, especially what they've just released. The EPA just quietly approved Monsanto's RNAi genetic engineering technology for use in public consumed foods. Now, the agency only allowed 15 days for public comment, and it essentially got zero press release on mainstream media. They've released what it's called the insecticide DVSNF7DsRNA. It is not sprayed on crops. Instead, it is manufactured into the DNA of the crop itself and encoded into the crops. It disrupts a crucial gene in Western corn rootworms, a major threat to corn, and kills the pest. All that's left after that is the RNA interference, or the RNAi, and the EPA approved this final step in making this type of corn mid-June 2017. What's wild about this is that it's gotten very little exposure at all. Of course, Dow and Monsanto are at the top of this as far as the ones manufacturing this stuff. The problem with this is we're seeing now is they're putting more and more and more weird things. It's bad enough to start, you know, the genetically modifying aspects. Now they're actually going in and connecting the genes in here and changing this stuff and injecting pesticides right into the gene makeup of this. I can't imagine this is going to be anything positive, even more on the environment at all. What's crazy about this is we see now that Monsanto and Dow and all these guys are totally in control of everything with the United States EPA, because the agency usually has a traditional 30 days of when it allows people to comment on this. They only allowed 15-day comment period, and it did not post its proposed decision in the Federal Register. It's not the first time the EPA has done this, but basically it's very, very rare when they ever do this, and the RNAi as an insecticide is warranted because of the public scrutiny that it's received on the level of toxicity it can have in the body. They did a research study basically with Chinese scientists, found that people eating genetically modified rice had these basically molecules in the compounds as well, and it was noted that it usually had significant issues on the digestive system. So this is something that now we have to watch out more. Now it's not even going to be just GMOs. Now they're having this whole RNAi changed corn, which is crazy to me. I don't know where this is going to stop, Dad. It looks like every time you turn around, there's something else they're trying to do to completely change the entire base of the food we're eating, but it doesn't surprise me. So be on the lookout now of this new insecticide-infused corn that'll probably be hitting the markets towards the end of the year once the grow season's over now, Dad.
Okay, this RNA corn, I discussed this in detail on Hagman on Friday night last week. This is basically a off-on switch inside of your body, and it can actually turn on certain chromosomes and turn off certain chromosomes inside of the human body when you ingest it. This is super dangerous stuff because they can turn on genes or chromosomes that are going to make you get cancer. They can turn on the ones that will make you go sterile. They can do all kinds of stuff with this type of technology. Monsanto's own research showed about 10 years ago how dangerous this type of protocol is when you start sticking RNA inside of the cells in themselves that'll actually turn things on and turn things off. this is just a more, you know, Austin, this one is so bad that it blows my mind that the mainstream media, of course, we know how corrupt they are, so they're not going to talk about it anyhow, that they're allowing this to even get out there without talking about it. I mean, this is some crazy stuff. Like you said, the FDA and the USDA and all of these guys that approve all of this junk, all these guys do is work for the big corporations and work for Monsanto, yep, and work for the globalists, and they get paid in their Swiss bank accounts and their slush funds, and they get hired by these different corporations, and they get out. This is a disaster. I mean, this one is actually on epic proportions as far as what it can do to our DNA, which is being already assaulted on so many different levels. You know, what's interesting to me, and I've talked about this before, and another article just came out by Dr. Hagi Levine, and said that sperm count in Western men has now plunged to a record low as scientists blame chemicals and everyday products for the crisis. This is crazy. It says, of course, we've talked about it. We talked about this years ago on the show. This is an urgent wake-up for all researchers and health authorities around the world, especially in America and the Western society, to investigate the causes of the sharp drop in sperm count with the goal of prevention. Sperm levels among Western men have plunged to a record low, new research reveals. It has fallen by more than 50% in 40 years, and in some areas up to 90% down. The study did not examine the causes, but the scientists believe the amount of chemicals used in everyday products may be fueling this type of drop. This is something that we need to realize is a major problem, and a lot of people that we know, in fact, you have friends right now, Austin, they can't get pregnant. And yep, a lot of these people, when they get tested, it's the sperm count with the men. We know people who can't get pregnant right now. If you order our alpha male alpha stack along with the vitamin E and the zinc, you can massively increase sperm motility. I remember years ago, your mom and I, you know, we had to use a fertility specialist to have the last three children we had. You know that. Your mom and your mother-in-law, your grandmother had used diethyl sylbestrol when she was pregnant with Sharon, which gave us a fit as far as letting Sharon maintain pregnancies. And finally, we had to use a fertility specialist. And I remember they had to do a sperm count on me. We're getting personal with you guys now, but I'm just going to tell you. And the sperm count was very, very active, very mobile. He said it was one of the best active sperm counts he had ever seen. And when I explained to him what we did as far as the vitamin E and the zinc and all the things we did as far as maintaining this, it was like talking to a rock on the wall. He didn't listen to anything that I said. And his name was Dr. Mueller. And finally I said to him, I said, Dr. Mueller, do you not understand what I'm telling you? I said, there's things that you can do to increase this, to make this better for all of these men that you have that are coming to you right now that can't have children because of this. And Austin, it was like I was talking to a block. I mean, he absolutely went one ear out the other ear. Like I had absolutely no idea of anything that I was talking about after he just told me, you know, what kind of sample that I had produced. And the sad part about all of this is that this is the typical attitude that most medical doctors, even in the fertility specialist, rings, because they'd rather take one of your sperms and try to put it into one of the eggs and charge you $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 for an in vitro cycle in order to try to make more and more money rather than try to figure out the reason this is happening and try to correct it. So that's why, guys, if you're having a problem with that, 1,600 IUs of vitamin E every single day, along with around 100 milligrams a day, and it will do absolutely amazing things for you in that category. Plus, if you're having a problem with low testosterone, you can use the alpha male stack. So real, real personal information with you about that stuff. I don't like talking about that stuff about myself, but it's really important with all of these studies coming out now that I want to give you guys that information. What do you think, Oz?
Absolutely. And also, too, make sure you're staying away from a lot of the phytoestrogens and the BPAs, which is in the plastic water bottles and whatnot. There's a lot of companies now that are coming out with, like, the plexiglass-style water bottles, the really hard ones. Usually, as just a rule of thumb, in most cases, the softer the water bottle, the more bisphenol A is in the water bottle. So a lot of times when you get the hard ones that are, like, literally almost glass, but they're plastic, most of those usually have zero BPA in them. And a lot of times they'll certify that. They'll say no BPA, no BPH, nothing in them at all. And that's the best thing to drink out of. The BPA mimics in the body very, very aggressively, I might add. So it's very important to make sure you keep that out of your system, because estrogen and testosterone, it has an antagonistic effect. So, I mean, if your estrogen starts getting too high, it'll automatically start suppressing testosterone because it makes your body think that you have so much testosterone that it's converting into estrogen, which is in turn raising your estrogen, so it automatically lowers your testosterone level, which again can cause issues with sperm motility and everything else.
I want to add one more thing to that. Keep your cell phone out of your front pocket by your testicles. That's real important. And don't sit around with your cell phone or your iPad on your lap if you're doing a lot of texting, because that radiation from those iPads and those cell phones will actually decrease the sperm motility and actually increase the risks of infertility. I needed to share that with you guys. That's really, really important. Also, go ahead.
Well, that's for men and women. You know, we've talked about that before as far as with the ovaries as well. You see a lot of people, they'll be sitting on the couch and they got their phone right on their, you know, their waist or right below it. Same thing with the iPad. Same thing with any of that stuff. Make sure you keep it off your body. Dad's absolutely right about that. And I've got actually multiple emails on people asking about the blockers, the phone case blockers that Dad was using that we had been working with. And so, Dad, I've got quite a bit of feedback on those. So once you get back in town, I think it's about time we start looking into bringing those on board with Health Masters. You know, we had tried a couple of them out, but I've gotten a lot of feedback from them because a lot of people are curious, you know, how do you keep it in your pocket and not have all that radiation go against you? That's pretty much one of the only ways to do it without keeping the phone outside of your body. And also, too, make sure you guys are drinking purified, distilled water. The water now, I mean, it's funny. The other day I talked to a real good friend of ours. She went out with us, and she actually works for a company that is contracted out to add in fluoride to municipal water in the state of Florida. And she said she will not drink any tap water. She won't drink bottled water. Everything they do is either distilled or reverse osmosis. She's super picky about it. And I said, but you work for them. And she goes, yeah, and they make millions of dollars a year adding fluoride to it. And she goes, I also see all the incredibly toxic effects it has, all the side effects it has, all the different paperwork that comes in that we have to sign that shows that it's literally a toxic element and it should not be handled without some type of protective gear. You're not supposed to breathe anything around it. You're not supposed to be exposed to it. She goes, the stuff's a nightmare. She goes, I don't even want really to work there right now, but you know, we have a kid. I'm trying to make bills where they pay me really good money, so it's my kind of only option. She goes, but once I started working there, I became extremely picky about the water that I drink in because I realized how unbelievably toxic this stuff was. And I pulled an article up here earlier because I think so many people really don't take it seriously. I mean, you see the fluoride toothpaste all on the shelves. People buy it all day long, and you talk to people about it, and they look at you with this blank stare, and they go, well, fluoride's good for your teeth. And I said, well, why is fluoride good for your teeth? Well, because the doctor told me it's good for my teeth. The dentist said it's good for my teeth. And I said, okay. I said, have you done any other independent research besides what your dentist told you last month? Well, no, they told me it's good for my teeth, so that's what I use. Okay. So we got to have a little discussion here about this. 20 years ago, the FDA ordered that toothpaste manufacturers add a poison warning to all toothpastes containing fluoride. That's a fact. You can look it up. The warning, which advises the public to seek professional medical help if the toothpaste is swallowed. Let me back up there for a second. They're telling you on the toothpaste to seek professional medical help if the compound that you're brushing your teeth with for a minute every single day, multiple times a day, swirling it around your mouth, rubbing it on your teeth, getting in the back of your throat, if you swallow any of it, seek professional medical help immediately. That right there should be a big, giant, fat red flag that slaps you in the face if you're using fluoride toothpaste still right now. It still appears on every single fluoride toothpaste today. Go look it up. Fluoride continues to be added to municipal water supplies in over 70% of the United States, and they've done numerous studies showing that long-term exposure to fluoride has very significant health negative health aspects to it. Over 300 studies have found that fluoride is a blatant neurotoxin, no question about it, while 50 different human studies have linked moderate fluoride exposure with reduced intelligence, particularly disturbing. And we have this article on our website as a Harvard Medical School study in which a team of researchers found a link between elevated fluoride levels and decreased IQ in children. A couple of the few other things they brought up here in this article, they said fluoride impairs thyroid function. Yes, if you have an issue with your thyroid, the thyroid support and the potassium iodine that we carry is one of the most important products to be on. But in conjunction with that, you have to be drinking purified distilled water. You do not need to be drinking anything with fluoride in it whatsoever. Continue to take the thyroid support and the iodine. The result is hypothyroidism when you start having massive amount of fluoride in your body. With fatigue, brain fog, muscle, joint pain, depression, weight gain, all those symptoms are very, very, very regular with hypothyroidism. But what's interesting is almost every single time I've had somebody come into the office, I get an email and they go, I'm diagnosed with hypothyroidism, my thyroid's sluggish, I get it tested. And I say, okay, the first question I ask them is, what kind of water do you drink? In almost every single case, they're like, oh, I drink tap water, or I drink, you know, soda, or I drink some other not very pure form of liquid. And I go, okay, well, that's where we need to start right there. So be very aware of that, guys, if you're fighting thyroid issues. The thyroid support along with the iodine and cleaning your water up. The diabetics also are an increased risk from exposure to fluoride. Fluoride's been shown to actually increase blood sugar levels, inhibit production of insulin, and worsen glucose intolerance. Fluoride consumption also increases your risk of heart disease. It also can weaken your bones. It does not strengthen your bones or your teeth, as everybody thinks it does. In fact, attempts to use high-dose fluoride to treat osteoporosis resulted in more bone fractures. According to the Fluoride Action Network, studies have shown that communities that get 4 milligrams per liter of fluoride in drinking water have an increased fracture rate and poor bone density. Animal studies have also shown reductions in bone strength from fluoride exposure as well. Fluoride damages cell DNA and contributes to cancer. High fluorine causes crippling skeletal fluorosis. Fluoride causes GI problems that are often misdiagnosed. And no doubt, fluoride is an endocrine disruptor. And again, the last one on here is why I wanted to bring this up. Fluoride contributes to male infertility.
That's
over 60
right.
Animal studies have shown that fluoride negatively affects the male reproductive system, causing decrease in testosterone level, reduced sperm quantity and motility, and increases oxidative stress. In addition to that, a population study showed that communities in the United States with more than 3 ppm of fluoride in the drinking water had lower total fertility rates than populations with lower fluoride levels. Guys, this is not a question anymore. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is not a tenfold hat idea that people are running around screaming from the rooftops like lunatics. This is a very true factual problem that we have here in the United States with fluoride in the water system, and a lot of bottled water companies add it to their bottled water as well.
Right.
If not, a lot of bottled water companies use tap water from municipal water supplies and they put it right in the bottles. It's not even anything pure. It's just considered drinkable, potable water. They put it in a water bottle, sell it to you for $2 in a BPA-infused water bottle, and tell you it's good for you. It's so important, guys. If you don't have some type of water filtration, you use one of our water distillers. We have the base one that's $2.99. It's super affordable. We have another one that's a more larger one. We also have another one that's easy to move around. Add in our AquaTrace formula that we put together out of Utah. Has over 70 different aquaceous mineral suspension in it, or different minerals in it, a suspension formula. Incredibly effective product. But remember, guys, water is crucial to life. Without water, you do not go more than 2 to 3 days, period, especially in a hot climate like Florida. You have to have water. It makes up 60 to 70% of your body. A lot of people don't realize all the negative side effects that come from dehydration and also poor water intake when you start taking in fluoride and all these other contaminants in the water on a regular basis. So that's my fluoride rant, Dad. You started talking about the decreased sperm mobility. Fluoride has been directly linked to that, and I kind of wanted to hit this because I haven't talked about it in a while, but I think a lot of people still have not taken the fluoride problem seriously in this country, and we have to do everything we can to try and get this stuff out of the city water supplies. And if you can't, then you got to do everything you can to make sure you don't put it in your body through water distillation and filtering your water like we just talked about.
Hydrofluorosilicic acid is one of the most poisonous substances known to man. It's unbelievably bad. It's a product of aluminum, it's the byproduct of aluminum and phosphate fertilizer production. It's incredibly corrosive. When it comes into the factories, into the water treatment centers, it's got huge skull and crossbones on the containers.
Yep.
That means for massive. This is like an incredibly poisonous product. I mean, you don't even want to breathe it. You don't want to be around it. You don't want to touch it. I mean, they make sarin nerve gas out of this stuff, guys. I mean, think about this. Fluorine gas is sarin nerve gas, and it comes from fluoride. I mean, you can't make this crap up. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And the thing that bothers me more than anything else is that the bottled water companies, like you said, Austin, probably 90% of them still contain fluoride in their water. So unless you're making it yourself, I always tell people when I walk into the room or whatever, they say, well, what kind of water do you use? I say, I make it. And they say, well, how do you make it? I said, I have a distillation system. I know exactly what's in my water. Like you said, we have the two smaller units that are countertops, and we have the one that I use at the house that has a 12-gallon reserve tank. It actually pumps water directly to your kitchen sink through a gooseneck faucet, so you can have distilled water on tap, and also puts it to your refrigerator, and so you have distilled ice cubes. Most people don't think about that. Now, what's interesting is this. There's a book you can get on this topic. If you don't believe anything Austin and I told you today, that's okay. Get Fluoride, the Aging Factor. You can get it for $2 on Amazon right now. I'm looking at it. $2 on Amazon. It's used. Fluoride, the Aging Factor by John Yamiatis. I mean, this guy is the best I've ever seen when he wrote this book, and this book's old. And he also, remember this, and then here's one of the letters that came in from Tom out of California on this book. He said, finally a book that describes my advanced age condition. He's disabled at 57 and how it occurred. He said, basically, I've got cervical spurs, scoliosis, aged spinal cartilage and discs. My left shoulder is now lower than my right due to skeletal fluorosis, just as in India. Muscles and ligaments are sore, as described, via distorted collagen deposits, partially calcified. And basically, he says it all is basically fluoride poisoning. I mean, think about this for a second. It's rat poison, guys. They use fluoride for rat poison. And they're putting it in tap water. They're poisoning the people with it. It was first used in the German concentration camps. And I know we've talked about it many times, and it's kind of being redundant talking about it right now, especially with our listeners. But we're getting so many people coming in to our show every single day, I mean, all over the world, that they have to understand this is a major, major problem, especially in the Western countries and now in Europe, even with fluoride toothpastes. And also with fluoride mouth rinses and everything else, is something you've got to simply stay away from. In case you're worried about the men having too high of sperm counts and having too much aggression in their lives, Princeton now has a new men's engagement manager to combat aggressive masculinity on campus. Now, I'm not joking. His title is a men's engagement manager to combat aggressive masculinity on campus. Are young men at Princeton University violent, aggressive, or hypermasculine? New position of the Ivy League institution indicates campus officials apparently think enough of its male students to grapple with such problems that it warrants hiring a certified clinician to come help in helping them. The university is in the process of hiring an interpersonal violence clinician and men's engagement manager who will work with campus office, including SHARE, that's dedicated to survivors of sexual harassment, assault, dating. I guess if you ask a girl out at Princeton now, they're going to send you this little guy, make you have him talk to you about why in the world you asked him out, why you figured that was not going to be, why that was okay. I don't really understand any of this. I mean, to me, if you ask a girl out in college and she was busy or she had somebody else that she was going out with or whatever, you just moved on and asked somebody else out. You really didn't pay any attention to it. But these guys are now being told they're not allowed to do that anymore, I guess, at Princeton, Austin, and now they're having these guys that are being hired to help them avoid the typical thing of a male asking a female out on a date. I guess it's okay for the female to ask the male out on a date, but otherwise it's not okay for anything else to do that. And again, it's basically gender reassignment, so to speak, from a classical standpoint, in which the men have to take the subservient position and the women have to take the aggressive position. And basically forget testosterone because it's all on the floor anyhow. And basically the women have to try to run the relationship and ask the guys out and try to find a husband and try to get a guy to marry her and try to supply the family's finances and on and on and on. Completely contrary to what the Word of God says. Now, do I have a problem with women working outside of the home? Absolutely not. Do I have a problem with women, if they really like a guy, wanting to know if they want to go out with him? Absolutely not. But guys,
It's got to be vice versa. The guy should be able to ask the girl out too, and without having to go to get worried about having to go through therapy. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
And the Netherlands, Austin, they're even doing more now as far as with the alcoholics, because I guess a lot of guys are so disappointed and depressed because of how their relationships have gone with women, they become alcoholics in the Netherlands, and they're not even worried about the 12-step program in Alcoholics Anonymous anymore. They have decided they're going to now allow people in the Netherlands to opt for suicidal intervention. So they're basically euthanasia. They're going to, if the people come to them and say, I'm an alcoholic, I want you to suicide me, I want to be euthanized, they're going to allow the person to be euthanized. I mean, Austin, what kind of world are we living, buddy? This is just getting crazy, bud.
That is pretty, that's pretty bizarre. I mean, we're seeing this in multiple countries now. I think, you know, Canada's been talking about this. A couple other countries have been talking about this and allowing it to go. I know the UK, I saw an article on it last week. They're wanting to legalize full-term abortions now in the UK. Basically, under certain conditions, they want to allow the child to be aborted at full term now. The usual restriction on it is, I think, at like 24 weeks. It can't go past that without some type of override from a medical doctor and some type of judge. Now they're saying they want to completely allow it to be full-term abortions, which, of course, that will just increase what they're trying to do as far as with the essentially what they are. I mean, they're sacrificed. That's what they're doing with this stuff. It's pretty sick. And then when you see the videos that we saw from the operation where they were going to Planned Parenthood and they were talking about selling the aborted body parts and making all this money, and the one lady was bragging about how she was going to make enough money off selling aborted fetal parts that she was going to be able to buy a Lamborghini. This is some sadistic stuff, man, that these guys are involved in. Now they want to start allowing people to be euthanized and basically killed if they ask to because they're alcoholics. The problem is once you go over this line, once you break this line and you start going in this direction, it's a very slippery slope with all of this stuff. As we've seen with the ethics and the morals, and really the overall value of life now is being slowly degraded, because that's essentially what the devil always wants to do, is he wants to devalue life. He wants to act like we don't have a soul, that we weren't made in God's own image. That's his overall goal. And if he can convince a large percentage of the population of the world that that's true, he will be doing exactly what his goal is. And that's something we can't allow happen. We can't sit back and start saying, well, if somebody just wants to be killed, we're just going to kill them because they're depressed, or they're an alcoholic, so we're going to allow them to be killed and euthanize them. This slope gets really slippery really fast, really, really quickly. And this is not something that we even need to be considering at all, nor do we need to be allowing this to happen. Also, too, though, in other news with Ron Paul, apparently it looks like the U.S. military industrial complex is absolutely bent on trying to start a war with Russia, Iran, and North Korea, as we've seen numerous times. But apparently this week the House is expected to vote on more sanctions against Russia and Iran and North Korea. And what Ron Paul said is a prime example of how little thought goes into U.S. foreign policy. Again, I don't think that's a correct statement. I think there's a significant amount of thought that's going into this. I think they're trying to play it off as if this is just the best thing to do. He said sanctions have become an automatic action the U.S. government takes when it simply wants to do so. No matter what the problem is, no matter where on earth it occurs, the answer from Washington is always sanctions. The goal of sanctions is to make life as miserable as possible for civilians, so they will try to overthrow their governments. Foreign leaders and elites do not suffer under sanctions, which is pretty true. The policy would be immoral even if it did work, but it does not. The media has designated Russia as the official enemy of the United States, and the military-industrial complex and other special interests want to continue getting rich, terrifying America into believing the propaganda. Washington is now blaming Iran for destabilizing Syria by helping them fight ISIS and Al-Qaeda. I don't even, you know, I don't know. Maybe the 54 Tomahawk missiles we shot into Syria a couple months ago, I don't know. Maybe that destabilized Syria a little bit. Maybe that we're in their country bombing multiple parts of their country on a regular basis and we've not been asked to be in that country. I don't know. Maybe that destabilized it a little bit. I'm not a politician, so what do I know? But all I know here is when we start dropping sanctions on these countries, it's a very, very clear indication to me that the globalists and the military-industrial complex are bent on war. This is essentially an act of soft war when you start putting massively aggressive sanctions on sovereign countries for doing absolutely nothing except what you said they did is wrong. You deemed them to do something, and you're basically the judge, jury, and executioner is how the globalists use our military now, which is quite sad to me that we've been used that way. But that's where it's headed, Dad. We're about to add more sanctions to Russia, Iran, and North Korea. So eventually, there's going to be a provocation at some point. You cannot continue to do this to sovereign countries without them retaliating, and that is the goal. And then the United States will say, we don't know why they did that. We just put on sanctions on every aspect of their life through their economy. We have no idea why they started anything with us. That way they can take us to another war and start another global currency reset. But I thought that was interesting today that Ron Paul talked about the sanctions, because I didn't even hear about that happening until yesterday.
Well, sanctions are an act of war, period. I mean, you know, countries have started wars over this repeatedly over sanctions. I remember when the International Jewish Committee decided in 1933 to declare war on Germany and basically did so and basically sanctioned all German goods and products being sold through the Jewish-owned organizations in New York and around the world and refused to import German goods. It was one of the big things that precipitated the basically the final solution that, you know, that Hitler put into place, because I'm not saying that Hitler was right doing it, but, you know, this had gone on for years and years and years and crippled a lot of the German businesses that were doing a lot of exports. I forgot which department store it was in Neiman. I think it was Neiman Marcus up in Manhattan. They had found a pair of wool socks that had been made in Germany, and they're supposed to be boycotting all German goods, and the socks had been in inventory for a while, and they had a huge, huge parade basically out front of people boycotting Neiman Marcus with placards and signs because of like a pair of socks. And you think, you guys think I'm kidding you, but I'm not. And see, a lot of stuff that you were told about World War II and how it started and how it precipitated and stuff simply isn't true, because the historians have basically deleted a lot of the information that wasn't pro, how should I say this, pro our involvement in World War II. I mean, you got to think about something, guys. If you read the book Pawns in the Game, by William Guy Carr, he goes into detail in what happened in World War II. And the person who won World War II were the international bankers, because they ended up getting their country with the Rothschilds. They ended up getting Israel out of it, and they ended up giving half of the European Union, or half of Europe, pretty much, to the Soviets. I mean, Stalin, he didn't have any rights to take all of those countries and put them behind the Iron Curtain. We just allowed him to do it. And I remember Patton was so angry that we were going to be doing all of this that he decided, he said, if you watch the movie Patton, you'll see him do it. He goes, I'll start a war with these Ruskies and I'll rearm the German soldiers and we'll get these guys out. We fought the war against the wrong people. I mean, Patton's saying these kind of things, and that's one of the reasons they had to shut him up. And don't get me wrong,
yeah,
I'm not a big fan of Hitler, guys. You know that. I've told you that 100 times. Now, he did a lot of crazy, stupid stuff that he shouldn't have done, which killed a lot of people. But guys, you know, we got to look at everything and be open-minded as to why certain things happened, you know, all these 70, 80 years ago, and understand there's some other stuff going on that we're not being told what is happening. And by the way, a professor is calling McCain a war criminal. This is a liberal professor out of California, and he is annoyed at the fact that people are giving him well wishes after he's been diagnosed with brain cancer. In fact, a California professor is facing a backlash over social media rant in which he calls Senator John McCain, who is battling brain tumor, a war criminal. Reports of those who have criticized San Diego State Professor Jonathan Grauber for his comments include students enrolled in the college. I find myself annoyed at the groundswell of good wishes for John McCain after his diagnosis of brain cancer, and I've been thinking through why, he wrote on one of his Facebook posts. So guys, here's the thing, you know, I don't care for John McCain. I told you that last week when I gave this announcement. But, you know,
I'm just praying for God's will to be done in this life, and I'm not going to sit around and start hammering them either right now. I'm not going to do that, though I don't care for them. You know, you guys know that. By the way, last 2 weeks ago, we broke the story from Rodney Howard Brown right after he was in the White House on our show that there was a plot to take out Donald Trump. It was broken first on the Ted and Austin Brower show internationally, and now Fox has picked up the story with Rodney Howard Brown 2 weeks later, and they are saying that there is a coup d'etat being set in place right now in the White House to basically take Trump out of office under force. They're not saying how they're planning on doing it. It's exactly what happened and what Rodney said would happen. So it's kind of crazy. And in the meantime, the stock market hits a new high. It's just unbelievable. And by the way, another study has just come out now, and this is really interesting. It said ancient humans had sex with non-humans. There you go. We ever hear the term Nephilim, fallen angels? New research studies show that ancient humans had sex with non-human species. Now we're talking fallen angels. According to the study conducted by Omer Kalkium, assistant professor of biological science at the University of Buffalo, ancient humans had intercourse with a ghost species of proto-human. Kalkium explains that the humans are only one member of a broader species named hominins. The research found that the humans had sex with other members of the hominins group. He also found widely different genes and DNA in humans living in sub-Saharan Africa. He believes that these genes can be traced back to about 150,000 years ago when ancient humans were breeding with this mysterious ghost species. Wow. In other words, they're saying there are no fossils that can be analyzed. That's a lie. All of the fossils of the giants have been quickly seized by the government and put into basically hiding. You know, there's giants that are 6, 7, 8 meters tall that they found and they have unearthed, according to Steve Quayle. And basically they've been hidden and put away in museums so they could not be researched and studied. If you go to ancient antiquity sites that are pre-flood, in many cases you are actually taken out by military force if you go in trying to analyze the artifacts in these areas, simply because they don't want you realizing that we bred with giants, and these giants bred with us, and we created giants on this planet, and these giants were eating humans, as it talks about in the Book of Enoch. And this thing's some crazy stuff, guys. They actually said in the Book of Enoch, some of these things were as big as 150 meters tall. That's 450 feet tall. Now, I mean, quite frankly, I don't even want to see something like that. I don't want to be around something that's 400 feet tall. I mean, I don't, that thing could do anything it wanted to do to pretty much anyone without even having any recourse. I don't even think it may get stung by a 50 caliber bullet, but it'd take a 20 millimeter cannon to slow something like that down, Austin. So, you know, it's a major, major, major artifact find that they're doing now, that ancient humans had sex with non-humans. Duh. The Bible tells us that happened centuries and centuries ago. It was written. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, I saw that article too, man. I mean, that's Genesis chapter 6 all over. That's exactly what it is. I mean, and you know that, and that's the thing. I've read the same thing in Enoch, and I've always had debates because a lot of scholars have looked at the numbers as far as how big those guys were. Some of them said that it was a miscalculation. Some of them said it was a misprint. Some said it was either 45 feet or 450 feet. I don't know. Regardless, even if you're a 45 foot tall giant, that is an extremely large. Person. That's a large anything. They're talking about the largest T-Rex has got up to around 50 feet tall. And that was always my hypothesis on it when we've talked about it before on the show. When you read in the Book of Enoch, the only thing that has ever explained to me the origin of dinosaurs was when it talked about the fallen angels sinning with the birds and the reptiles of the earth, meaning the bestiality, because they were all into that. If you read about in any of those books, they're really big into bestiality. And essentially it created these hybrid monsters, which turned into dinosaurs, because I could never figure out when I was younger why in the world God would build a 50-foot Tyrannosaurus Rex to put in the Garden of Eden. Doesn't seem like a very plausible animal that has any useful purpose in a very calm environment. It's solely 100% carnivorous, and not only that, the amount of calories those reptiles had to take in with the, when they've looked back at a lot of the research with the skeletal structure, I mean, you're talking hundreds of thousands of calories on a regular basis just to maintain that size. So I could never understand why they were that big. it makes a whole lot more sense if you read Enoch and you see that the fallen angels sinned against the reptiles and built essentially these unbelievably aggressive reptilian monsters that were running around. Hence why the flood came, because a lot of this stuff absolutely had no useful purpose being on this earth. So, yeah, interesting article there. I'm glad you brought that up. Also, too, today it looks like the U.S. Navy released that a patrol boat had to fire warning shots at an Iranian naval ship in the Persian Gulf. They said the U.S. Cyclone-class patrol ship, the USS Thunderbolt, was at the time involved in an exercise with American and partner vessels in the Persian Gulf. The American Defense told the AP that the Iranian naval vessel came within almost 150 yards of the Thunderbolt. After the Iranian vessel did not respond to radio calls, U.S. sailors were forced to fire warning shots. Tense naval encounters are not uncommon between Iranian and U.S. forces in the Gulf. And, of course, on the news right now, everybody's calling for more sanctions for Iran. Iran came close to the boat. They can't believe they did this. We need to go invade Iran. And I'm not a fan of Iran. I don't have anything for Iran. I don't even know anybody over in Iran. But it's always the thing I always flip to, is I try to flip both sides of the coin. If we were out in the Gulf of Mexico right now doing some just naval training, hanging out, and all of a sudden a ship showed up from Iran, it was reversed now, Iran comes over and starts pestering in our Gulf of Mexico and doing training, blatant military training in the Gulf, and we get close to it, and they fire warning shots at us, do you know how fast we would have F-18s carpet bomb their ships in a heartbeat? We wouldn't even ask them why or where they were doing it. We would bomb them and sink their ship immediately if an Iranian ship had the audacity to fire warning shots at United States ships in the Gulf of Mexico. That's just the flip side of it. So before everybody jumps on Iran and says we need to invade Iran because they came close to one of our ships, you guys understand geographically, the Persian Gulf is right up against Iran. It borders half of Iran. So, yeah, understand that we're literally in their backyard in the Gulf of Mexico. While they're sliding up to see what we're doing, we're firing warning shots of them in their backyard. So I just want to kind of address that today because I saw a couple of people talking about it online, Dad.
No, it's so funny. We can do anything we want to do to any country, anywhere, and it's okay. I was talking to a gentleman today here in Greece, and he was telling me how the American Empire is basically on a downhill track like Rome did and like Greece did, and that, you know, we're losing all of our prestige around the world, and he cannot believe that we've considered, you know, and continue to do what we're doing, because he said it's absolutely horrible the way that everybody views the United States, because he says we're an incredibly aggressor country. And he's right.
Yep.
I mean, we want to start wars with everybody, because remember, we don't run the country. The CIA, the Sabotean Kabbalists run the country. That's who runs the country. And they're incredibly aggressive, and they have been their entire time since Moses Bauer started the Rothschild dynasty hundreds and hundreds of years ago, as far as taking over countries and just doing what they want to do whenever they want to do it. By the way, a BCC, British Communications Corporation, investigation found fecal material in drinks at McDonald's and two other chains. I mean, this is unbelievable. Feces in the drinks, in an alarming new blow to hygiene standards, food and drink chains. McDonald's, Burger King, and Kentucky Fried Chicken have found feces in their drinks, fecal coliform branches of each of the fast food chains. I mean, I cannot believe this is actually going on. The latest news comes after the BCC's investigation that only 6 months ago found iced drinks from popular high drink coffee chains, Starbucks, Costa, and Cafe Nero, were all contaminated with varying amounts of bacterial feces. Guys, when you have people who are basically not washing their hands and working in these types of places or preparing food or preparing the raw materials that are shipped to these individual restaurants who aren't washing their hands, it creates a major problem. I remember years ago, just in Auburndale, we had a group of people who went to this one church, and they all ordered coleslaw from, I believe it was, Long John Silver's. And the person who had mixed up the coleslaw had hepatitis and had feces on his hands. And he basically had not washed his hands, and he mixed this coleslaw with his hands, and a bunch of people died in the church and had to have liver transplants. I kid you not. That's the problem that you get when you go to these fast food places, because they simply don't want to do what needs to be done in order to maintain a clean standard there. It's absolutely crazy. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right about it. Be very careful when you guys go out to eat, especially with stuff like that. But buffets specifically, you won't ever see me eat at buffets. Rarely will I ever eat at buffets unless it's some really high-end thing and I'm on a in a hotel or something. I need to grab some food. Buffets are bad about that. Anything that people mix up with salads, coleslaw, stuff like that, just talked about that they may use their hands with, be very, very cautious when you're going out and eating those. High-end restaurants are usually pretty good because they have very strict sanitation restrictions. But some of these really low-end fast food joints, especially ones that are in low ends of town, and they just have people working there that absolutely could care less about their job or anything that's going on at that business, be very careful eating food there, eating anything, whether it's beef, chicken, regardless. I had a buddy the other day, he sent me a photo of a Checkers burger, which I was like, why did you eat a Checkers? He's like, well, I was hungry, and he had a Checkers chicken sandwich, a grilled chicken sandwich. He bit into it, and the whole middle of the chicken was still cold and raw. I mean, completely cold and raw in the middle. He took a photo to me. So I'm going to send this to Checkers. I said, send it to them. I said, they're not going to do anything. They're going to send you a couple free vouchers to get new ones. I said, you order some at Checkers. I mean, come on, dude. What do you really expect out of life? You're eating at Checkers. Like, just, I mean, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it if that's where you work at and you're trying to make money. But if you're trying to be healthy and you're trying to really stay fit, eating fast food is not the option. Any of the places, McDonald's, Checkers, Taco Bell, you can't eat that stuff and put that type of garbage in your body and expect any type of healthy outcome. Also, too, this is pretty wild. Last week now, July 14th, Google's BioLab, which is basically their sister company, began releasing their first batch of 20 million bacteria-filled mosquitoes that they're setting free in the middle of California, supposedly in order to shrink the population of mosquitoes that can carry life-threatening diseases. So they're releasing lab-made mosquitoes with bacteria to try and kill regular mosquitoes that may have diseases. The project's called Debug Fresno, an initiative led by Verily Life Sciences, which is an offshoot of Google's parent company, Alphabet, and a collaboration with MosquitoMate and Fresno County's Consolidated Mosquito Admin District. Over the course of 20 weeks, the company released 1 million every week at a time, sterile, non-biting male mosquitoes in two 300-acre neighborhoods in Fresno County every week. The mosquitoes being released are not genetically modified. However, they are made in a lab. The male mosquitoes are bred by a robot and infected with Wolbachia, a bacteria that basically makes male mosquitoes sterile to females that don't have the infection herself. This makes it unable to successfully breed and reduce the mosquito population, supposedly. During the experiment, they will monitor the population density and egg hatching among these mosquitoes. These numbers will then be compared with the numbers from two controlled neighborhoods. The company expects to see a steep decline in mosquito numbers in the target areas. What could possibly go wrong with this, releasing 20,000 bacteria-filled mosquitoes into the population? I don't know. Some of these people, you know, they come up with these crackpot ideas sometimes, I think, when they're sitting around smoking dope, and they're like, this is a good idea, let's just do this. Kind of like the love bug idea that we have in Florida now that's been an abysmal failure and is a nightmare to every Floridian twice a year. Yeah, that was another stupid idea of bringing in insects into a state and trying to breed them and see what happens. This is not a good idea. I don't ever see the reason to bring in 20 million mosquitoes infected with bacteria to try and kill off other mosquitoes that may have diseases. We've been dealing with mosquitoes for pretty much ever. So doing this genetically modified garbage and breeding them in labs and infecting them with outside bacteria, I don't know how it's going to go. It may be a positive outcome with it. Who knows? But anytime you start playing stuff like this and releasing it into the population, in my opinion, there's always unexpected consequences, Dad.
I agree with you 100%, Austin. In fact, anytime you put some type of species that's not indigenous to the area into the area, you basically have a problem. Just today, we're walking around, and this is the craziest thing you guys have ever heard of. This is probably going to seem as strange as it did to you as it did to me. We're walking by this foot place, and they have like a foot massage place, and then all of a sudden, you know, the front of the building's open to the street, and there's people sitting there with their feet soaking in tanks, with fish eating parts of their feet, basically chewing the dead skin off their feet. I'm not kidding. This is some weird stuff over here. So we walked inside because the people were sitting there, and I said, does that hurt? And they said, no, they're just basically defoliating my feet, and it kind of tickles. And so I told the lady, I said, this is really strange. I've never seen this before, the owner. And she said, well, they don't allow this in Florida. I said, well, they don't. Why? She says, well, we import these fish out of Vietnam. And I said, well, we've had enough of the Burmese pythons coming into our country, into our state, and basically into Everglades. And so we don't want any more species that are non-indigenous coming into Florida, because they have a tendency to wreak havoc with the local, systems and local environment. And so it was kind of crazy, because now the environmentalists are going nuts out in Washington state, because the wolves are out there decimating cattle herds, and they're going to be allowed to start shooting the wolves again in Washington state, because they've spread all the way from Wyoming all the way up into Washington state. They're spreading all over the northeastern United States again. They've decimated the elk herds, but now these folks, these tree huggers who want to have the wolves come in, don't even realize the damage that they're doing to the environment. You say, well, wolves are at one time more indigenous to that area. That is absolutely correct. But the animals in that area now for close to 200 years have not had to deal with an apex predator chasing them around and killing for sport. And most of these animals are extremely dumb and basically have been bred to be dumb. And they're being completely wiped out. I believe the elk population is down some 80% now in these states in which the wolves have been reintroduced. So, guys, it's a major, major problem when you take species that are not indigenous and you introduce them into areas that they simply have not been used to being into. They completely take over the environment in some cases. By the way, the Boy Scouts are pitching a fit now. Some of the Boy Scouts, according to Newsweek, the Liberal Rag magazine, they're angry that Trump addressed a Boy Scout jamboree of about 40,000 Boy Scouts, and the president told these kids the truth about fake polls and fake news and the tremendous crowds that he drew at his campaign rallies during the 2016 election, and almost immediately his remarks mobilized American scouting community against the organization online. This is crazy. As the scout law said, a scout is trustworthily loyal, and we could use more loyalty, I'll tell you that, the president said during his speech. And so what ended up happening is they have just eviscerated him because he told these boys the truth about what was happening in the United States. Newsweek has said that Trump's Boy Scouts speech was indicative of a Hitler Nazi youth rally. I mean, Austin, you can't make this stuff up, man. This is absolutely crazy that they're calling this a Hitler youth rally now with the Boy Scouts. And what's nuts about it is all he did was tell these kids the truth of what was happening. And then now their quotes are, this Boy Scout must distance themselves from that offensive attempt to politicize scouting and turn them away, turn them into a Trump youth organization. Trump reminded the crowd of his victory against Hillary Clinton in the November presidential election and thanked Americans for supporting him after he lost the popular vote to her. Remember, this is what they're saying, because she hacked a bunch of election precincts again. Do you remember that famous night on television, November the 8th, Trump's asked? He said his ascendance to the White House was an unbelievable tribute to all of you and the other millions of people that came out and voted to make America great again. But heaven prevent making America great again and telling the truth to the doggone Boy Scouts. Now he's a Nazi party person. Unbelievable, Austin. You can't even make this stuff up, dude. I mean, it's just nuts. Guys, I want to thank you for listening tonight. Sorry, my Skype got cut off last night. We had to put an additional antenna boost in the room so that wouldn't happen again. I was on a rant and rave about immunization. But I love you guys. I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you for allowing me to be here on the boots ground here in Greece and telling you what's happening here. I mean, this is I feel so sorry for this country. It is completely in shambles, this huge unemployment rate and all these people without work. They pay the Uber drivers here who don't even own their own vehicles $2.90 an hour, Austin. $29 a day for a 10-hour day to drive Uber all day long.
Golly.
That's how bad the economy has gotten here in Greece because of the meddling of the European Union and the international banking community and all of the folks that have basically done all the predatory lending into this country. So, guys, say a prayer for Greece tonight and just pray for the people here. I feel bad for them. And just thank you again for listening. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for getting your distillers from us. Thanks for supporting us. I appreciate you guys. I love you. I want you to know that, without you guys, the show wouldn't be possible. Austin, I'm going to let you write the summary tonight. God bless you guys. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Got it, bud. I appreciate it. Yeah, and also, too, great positive news for everybody up in Washington, D.C. The Federal Appeals Court today has struck down the District of Columbia's gun control measure that the court said is essentially an outright ban. in violation of the Second Amendment. D.C. currently requires gun owners to have a good reason to obtain a concealed carry permit, and a large, large percent, around 80 to 90% of them, are denied because they say the reason is not good enough. The U.S. Court of Appeals for D.C. struck down the regulation as too restrictive, reported today. They said the good reason law is necessarily a total ban on D.C. residents' right to carry a gun in the face of ordinary self-defense needs. Bans on the ability of most citizens to exercise a right would have flunked any judicial test. He's absolutely right. The decision deals another legal blow to efforts by city officials to rewrite gun regulations since the Supreme Court declared a Second Amendment right to gun ownership in 2018 gun case. Right now, currently, there are 124 concealed handgun permit holders in Washington, D.C. 124. Once this gets rewritten, hopefully they allow everybody up in D.C. I've got a few friends in love towards Delaware and areas like that. Really hope you guys can get your gun rights back. It looks to be as we're making slow baby steps, but steps nonetheless forward and trying to retain and get back, at least maintain, some of our gun rights in the United States. It is not something we can compromise on. I've told you guys that numerous times. But congratulations to Washington, D.C. now. Hopefully this will go through and they'll be able to get concealed carry permits now up there. I think for a lot of people, especially that weren't globalists up in D.C., that whole shooting up there at the baseball field got a lot of people's attention. It definitely had, I think, a reverse impact on what the initial plan was, because a lot of people realize that criminals don't follow gun laws. Washington, D.C. has super strict gun laws. All those areas around there have gun laws. You can't be running around with an AK-47 with 30-round magazines up there, open carrying, and that's exactly what that guy was doing. So once you realize that criminals don't follow gun laws, so you need to make sure you have equal or a better force to defend yourself, your family, or your country at any time, you realize that the Second Amendment is not something that should be compromised on in any way, shape, or form. So guys, we appreciate everything. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for all the support. Healthmasters.com. Check it out. The product of the week is D3-10,000. I've talked about it. Incredibly popular product. One of our best sellers. Very good for the immune system. Very good for bone health. Incredibly important for pregnant women or women that are planning on getting pregnant. The D3-10,000 K2 on sale till tonight, or probably tomorrow morning is when we'll change it. It's 10% off right now. So check that out on the website at healthmasters.com. If you need anything, you can give us a call at 1-800-726-1834 and go on the website and sign up for our free weekly newsletter. I will be on the Hagman Show tonight, guys, live from 7:30 to 8 on the Hagman and Hagman Report. So if you want to hear some fun stuff, I'm going to be on there tonight for a short little session. Be sure to check it out. If you guys need anything, healthmasters.com. Thank you so much for your support. You have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow on the Ted and Brower Show.